Today's teaching, we're going to be in Matthew 10. We're going to go through 1 through 15. And we don't have any verses on the overhead. I didn't get a chance to get that today. So if you need me to tell you again when I go over it, put your hand up. I'll let you know so you can write it down. Matthew 10. And today's going to be communion as well. So, thank you to everybody that came across the street and helped out. We're going to be doing that right after second service too. All right, let's go ahead and pray for today's teaching. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your grace, for your mercy for us. Lord, for speaking on our behalf to our Father in heaven. Lord, without you, we are lost. Lord, may you use us in a way just only you can send us, Lord. May you send us as messengers, as leaders. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're looking at Matthew 10, 1 through 4. We'll go ahead and start into this. And it's about the 12 disciples. Matthew 10:1 says, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and the beast," went really bad with those names when they start getting Lebius. Thank you. "Whose surname is Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who was betrayed," or who also betrayed him. Funny that he mentions Judas before he actually betrayed him. I feel there's like some hard feelings when he was pinning this down about how Judas betrayed Jesus. But, I mean, when reading the Bible, you say, oh, man, there's a bunch of names coming up. Is there anything that pertains to? Yes, there is. We'll go over verse 1 again. The first part of that, he calls them his disciples. When it says, "And he called his 12 disciples to him." But if you look a little bit later on, with disciples, I mean, that's basically you're discipling, you're learning from. But to be an apostle basically means to be a messenger to send out. And so now he is calling them his apostles. He's going to send them out to do his will. But looking at the names in the Bible, you see, he starts with Peter and James. They're this fisherman. He talks about, you know, Matthew. He's a tax collector. Just normal, everyday people. They're not the Sadducees. They're not Pharisees. They are just normal, everyday people that you see, just like you and I. They're called by Jesus, just like as we are called by Jesus to do his will. Like I said, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. They had to be this before they could be an apostle. They had to follow him. They had to know what his word is. They had to have good instruction and a foundation in the word of God before they could go out and speak the truth and to heal in his name. We also see it mentioned that They are all from different backgrounds, from fishermen to tax collectors. We see also in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 27 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But when God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." And I don't think of myself as foolish, but we are. We're not wise at some times, but he calls us. He calls us, but we are to learn. We're to learn of his word. We know that first we must have a foundation of the word before we can speak to others. Also to believe in him and to have faith that he will provide. In Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So going on into verses 5 through 7, we see sending out of the disciples. They are going to be going out now into different lands to spread Jesus' word so they can help spread it quicker than just going along with Jesus. It says in verse 5, These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now we see that they're on their way, they're going out to be messengers, they're told not to go to the Gentiles, to the Samaritans, but to the Israelites. Jesus sent them out to tell them to spread the word much quicker to expand the area than he alone to do it. He wanted the Jews first before the Gentiles. Who is Jesus first called? The Jews, the Israelites. We see that in verses, Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also the Greek." So, it would be spread later for the Gentiles. It would spread quicker later once Jesus has been crucified on the cross. For some of us, it takes a little bit more drasticness of something like that. For the Jews, they already had a foundation. They just had to remember it. They were kind of misled by their leaders in that day, by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes. We do see also in Jeremiah speak of the lost. In Jeremiah 56, not 56, but 56, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the hill, the mountain hill. They had forgotten their resting place." Basically, they were being astray from what the scribes and the Pharisees and their priests in that day. They weren't being instructed correctly. We see in 8 through 10, they were instructed to go out and spread the word. It says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff. For a worker is worthy of his food. We know if we have faith, what will God do? He'll provide for us. So God will provide for those who have faith in him. In Psalms 9:10, reads, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." They were instructed to basically take nothing with themselves and the clothes on their back. Nothing to take for money, but to work for it. So they were instructed to go out to be workers, to rely on God to provide for them. And that's an extreme amount of faith, just to leave everything behind, just as they did when they were first following Jesus. Now we read in 11 through 15 that, "Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is in it, who in it is worthy, and stay there until you go out. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Ouch. Wow. So basically, they're to go and mingle in that town to ask who in that city is worthy. And it's not saying who is the high up. They're to go to basically the commoners and meet with them, to work beside them. That is how they would also pay their way, is to work beside them. And in the fields, they would talk with them, minister to them. But if they weren't, if they were rejected in that house, shake it off. We all will go through some type of rejection when trying to talk about Jesus and his word. Not everybody is accepting. We can hope and pray that for them, that they will come to him, but to constantly keep it in prayer, but to move on. So we see in Luke 10 through 11, "But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you.'" They were not to lose heart, but to keep on keeping on, basically. There will be ones that will scoff you or persecute you for trusting in the Lord, but we are to be of good cheer. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." It's amazing that we have to be of good cheer. We have to keep on and just know that through him, if we have faith in him, he will cover us. Um, also we may we be his messengers and show others that we are not afraid to do his work. It's not always easy to get out and do something that you are uncomfortable with. For a long time across the street, I was, and still am, the audiovisual. I get to hide behind a podium or a stage. But breaking out of a shell, I'm over here. And it's amazing to see the scripture that I get to read every day on how faith will change you. We do see now in Luke 10:7, it says, "And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house." They are to be, laborers, to remain in that house until they get the fed and to move on. So we are trying to tone this down to be a little shorter today because we're going to have communion and also go across the street and finish out the bake sale. So let's go ahead, and that's what I've got for here to tone it down some. So if we go ahead and pray and get communion ready. Heavenly Father, we know that you are merciful to us. Lord, we pray that we may constantly have your will in our life. Lord, may you speak to us in every day. May you give us the words to speak when we have none. Lord, may we bring more people to you. May it not just be you out there, may it be us speaking for you. Lord, we pray for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name. And they're going to sing a song. Amazing grace, how sweet.